In Hebrews 10, we're told to promote love and good works. For years, Elizabeth Elliot has been pointing women to Jesus and challenging them to live a life characterized by love, good deeds, and devotion to God's Word. Welcome to Gateway to Joy.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again today about the subject of repentance. When I read Dr. J.I. Packer's new book called Rediscovering Holiness, I was particularly arrested by his chapter called Growing Downward to Grow Up. The chapter is on repentance, a subject that we don't hear nearly enough about nowadays. We've heard far too much about loving ourselves and saying, I'm okay and you're okay and that's okay, or I'm not okay and you're okay, or I'm not okay and you're not okay, but that's okay too, as though anything goes. The Bible is very clear about the fact that not by any means everything goes. We know we're sinners, don't we? Nobody needs to tell us that we really are sinners. We sin against each other. We know that a lot of our own troubles are caused by our foolishness and our sins. And we know that we don't live up to our own expectations of ourselves. One question that needs to be carefully looked into as regards this business of repentance is confessing to other people. James says in his epistle, chapter 5, verse 16, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Dr. Packer says he is talking not of the formalities of institutionalized absolution, but of the intimacies of Christian friendship in what are nowadays called accountability relationships. In accountability relationships, one cares for another in a context of open sharing of lives, sad things like failures and falls, as well as glad things like deliverances and successes. Confession of sins within pastoral friendships of this kind is an important expression of repentance. Embarrassment should not be allowed to hold us back. To confess one's sins to another who knows you as a peer and a friend is to commit oneself to redoubled effort not to lapse that way again. To ask one's friend to pray that one may be healed. It's moral and spiritual healing that James has in view. In other words, personal healing of the most significant sort is to make oneself accountable for maintaining that commitment on a permanent basis. Few of us, I think, really know the value of accountability relationships in the battle for honest repentance and for wholeheartedness in fighting temptations to sin. Frank admission of one's sins to friends in Christ is part of the biblical pattern of Christian repentance. In Psalm 51, we read, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions." Here we find the psalmist pleading for mercy and forgiveness. "Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." And then he acknowledges, in the way that you and I are meant to acknowledge, "I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Surely you desire truth in the inward parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place." That heart of hearts of ours that only God knows. Only God knows. You and I don't even know our heart of hearts. But the further we go with God, the more he will reveal to us, the more he will lay bare the sin in those deep, dark corners of our hearts. Or as my Bible teacher in Canada, L.E. Maxwell, used to say, the further into the well you lower the bucket, the slimier are the creatures that will be revealed. And the psalmist sends out a heart cry for cleansing. Verse 7, cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God. Have you ever prayed that prayer? Renew a steadfast or right spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. If there's anyone listening to me now who is deeply conscious of sinfulness, why don't you open your Bible to Psalm 51, right there in the middle of your Bible. Take that psalm and get down on your knees and just read it in the presence of God. Pray through it. Restore to me, he says in verse 12, the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit. Are you not willing to be cleansed by God? I know how that feels. It's painful. And so I have to pray, grant me a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will turn back to you. But it's no good me trying to teach transgressors, other people, God's ways, until he has cleansed my heart. Save me from blood guilt, O God, the God who saves me, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Have you ever found yourself singing a hymn and suddenly realized that you were telling lies? We really can't sing a lot of those hymns truthfully until we've been cleansed. There are three simple questions that can help you apply what you read in God's Word. And if you take this Psalm 51 and ask these questions, these three simple questions, I think you're going to find far more in that psalm, level after level of meaning, depth upon depth, than you would if just read it without asking these questions. Here they are. Number one, what does this tell me about God? Number two, about living. Number three, about my own life today. What does this tell me about God? What does it tell me about living? What does it tell me about my own life today? As the sun rises and fills my little study each morning, it shows up very plainly, the dust on the desk, the salt spray on the windows, the spots on the carpet. The same light which reveals the dust and the salt spray and the spots is the light that makes me want to clean things up. And it's the same in the spiritual realm, isn't it? Learn to hate sin. Let God shine. Let the sun of righteousness rise on your life. Learn to hate the sin, the dust, the untruthfulness. Many of us are untruthful, not only in lying outright, but in just carelessness, in haste, and in my case, often self-protection. Go after that. Go after that untruthfulness. Repent. Turn around. Cut it out. Be specific. Let's not have any vague general confessions. I haven't loved you as I ought. Now, that is a confession, and there's never a time when all of us Christians wouldn't be able to pray that prayer, and it would be very true. We have not loved him as we ought. But if we are Christians, and even the saints in heaven would certainly say the same, I think we need to be specific. In what way have I not loved God today as I ought? Examine the particulars. Accuse yourself honestly in God's presence. And this is the thing that makes it different, isn't it? This is not morbidity. This is not a damaging kind of self-examination. This is the healing kind. This is like bringing yourself to the doctor and letting him examine you and tell you what's wrong so that he can do something about it. And when we come to the great physician, we know that he is all wise. He's all powerful. He's the one that can do something about it. But above all, and this is something not true of the doctor, he is all loving. He loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love. Bring your confession simply and humbly. No fussing, no omissions. And remember that our sins are not just commission, but omission as well. We've left undone those things which we ought to have done. We've done those things which we ought not to have done. Have you loved your neighbor as you ought? What did you neglect to do through negligence, indifference, or hardness of heart? If you have voluntarily yielded to distractions to arrange time or place or circumstances for prayer, have you failed to arrange a time and a place and a circumstance for prayer? Tell God so at once, according to the actual facts, instead of useless, lukewarm generalities. Mention the fact, the cause, and the duration, just as you would tell your doctor. In Acts 26, verse 20, it says this, "I preached that they should repent and turn to God and prove their repentance by their deeds." You and I are required under God to prove our repentance by our deeds. We can't do it alone. Ask Him to help you. He will.
Anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.